This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم النبيين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him. We request His guidance, we seek His assistance, and we seek refuge from the evil of ourselves and the adverse consequences of our deeds. We testify that whomsoever He guides, none can misguide, and whomsoever He misguides, none can guide. And we request praises and blessings upon the final messenger, our master, our teacher, and our leader, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dearest brothers and elders in Islam, regarding the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us only the best. He revealed the best book, the Quran, via the best angel Jibreel alayhi salam, to the best messenger Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the best language, the Arabic language, during the best of all nights, the night of power and decree and virtue, a night that we know as being better than 1,000 months. And during the best of all months, the month of Ramadan. And in the best of all places, Makkatul Mukarramah. The best book via the best angel to the best messenger in the best language during the best night and best month and in the best of all places. And in this best revelation that came to us in the best of all ways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals that the ummah that receives this book, this ummah is the best of all nations. We are the best of all nations. This is a declaration by the Lord of the worlds and the creator of everything in creation. Now, brothers and elders in Islam, we know that nations are nothing but a makeup of multitudes of families. And if we are the best nation, as decreed by the creator of everything in creation, that would mean, naturally, that this nation, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam particularly, and nations generally, they are a sign from the signs of Allah. And if we understand that nations cannot be except after a makeup of families, then naturally, the family would also be a sign from the signs of Allah. And thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals in Surah Rum, He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the signs that He exists, and from the signs that He is the only one worthy of worship, is that He created from you, for you, your pair, your spouse. Subhanallah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, and Allah did this so that the spouses may derive for each other, from each other, serenity, tranquility, and the peace of life. And then Allah says that He has placed between them both, Allah Himself has placed between them both two valuable characteristics, mawadda and rahmah. And we'll discuss this shortly. At the outset of the verse, Allah says, from His signs that He exists and that He is the only one of worship. He is one in His lordship, one in His worship, one in His names and attributes. From His signs, teaching us these realities, is that He has created us in pairs. Subhanallah. And the scholars of tafsir, they discuss the meaning of this portion of the verse in detail, and they have shared several opinions. From them is the fact that everything has been created in pairs. For Allah says, وَمِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ. Allah says, from everything we have created for them, it's pairs. Meaning everything has been created in pairs. You have male and you have female. You have short and you have tall. Everything has a pair. And no two can exist except from a one. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ. And your Lord is one Lord with no pair. Also, brothers and elders in Islam, we learn from this verse that marriages, especially from the discourse of Islam and the paradigm of Islam, is a sign from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is an important message that is lost when marriages especially take place. That we get caught up in the excitement of a marriage being imminent and two families coming together. And we share several pieces of advice with the imminent couple. But really, do we teach them that you both are about to engage in a contract that will entail a sign from the signs of Allah? That your contract will be a declaration in practice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists and is the only one worthy of worship. As such, brothers and elders in Islam, we see, and we will witness today because there's a nikah after the Jum'ah program, how easy the Sharia has made marriages and couples coming together. But then when it comes to separating them, the Sharia places more laws to delay that separation. Why? Because the Sharia does not want to cater for marriages breaking. Because those marriages from the outset are signs from the signs of Allah. And marriages being kept together entails productivity. And the more marriages the Sharia keeps together, the easier it is for the Sharia to create a circumstance where a productive, transformative nation exists. And we have to be that, brothers and elders in Islam, because we are the greatest of all nations. After Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah never took the legacy of Nubuwwah and prophethood and transferred it to the shoulders of one man, but rather he took it and transferred it to the collective shoulders of one ummah. That is yourself and myself. And the only way we can be diligent in carrying this legacy that the best of all individuals carried, the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam, is if we remain together, productive, proactive, transformative as families, so that we have transformative nations, and as such we can do diligence to the legacy of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and also transfer it diligently to the generation to come after us, because there's no messenger to come after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. With his arrival, it was declared that he will be the final messenger and the seal of all prophets. And we know, brothers and elders in Islam, that the battle between the truth and falsehood, between good and evil, continued to exist after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If no prophet is to come, the only solution for mankind is the nation of Islam, the nation of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For we received his legacy not as individuals but as a collective ummah, and thus Allah decrees, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the best of all nations. Brothers and elders in Islam, unfortunately today we see I'm going to be brave in saying this, it's an institution, an institutionalized effort in breaking the family structure, not just of Muslims but families as a whole. And we see this predominant in some continents over others, but with globalization and the television and satellite broadcasts, we see the ideas that go against the functional pillars of what a family should be, and thus functional nation should be, these pillars are being eroded from the foundation. And this is from the work of shaytan, for shaytan is an enemy to mankind, as Allah declares in the Quran, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Allah says shaytan is an enemy to you, so take him as an enemy. We know, brothers and elders in Islam, if we knew there were predators in our neighborhood, we'd ensure that we wouldn't even leave our children on our driveways and our yards. We'd put them in the home. We'd lock the homes. We'd make sure the cameras are installed and the alarm systems are functional. Why? Because we are preparing to face an enemy. Allah says shaytan is an enemy to you. So take shaytan as an enemy. And in order for us to take shaytan as an enemy, we need to look after the family unit, because the biggest win for shaytan is when he breaks the Muslim family. And we know this from the guidance of the final messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for we are taught that he meets with his military daily and they report to him what wrongs they've managed to bring into the ummah and the wrongs that they've made members of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do. And Iblis rarely batters an eyelid with much that is said. But when a shaitan gets up and says, I managed to create a separation between a husband and wife, now Iblis takes notice of that army member from his army that managed to achieve this, because Iblis himself knows that we together are stronger than when we are apart. And Iblis knows that when the family is broken, the children will suffer the most. And this is the quickest catalyst in breeding misguidance in the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Iblis fulfilling his promise to Allah, or his attempt, which he promised Allah that he would attempt to take most of this ummah with him to the hellfire. The quickest way to do it is to break the structure. Why? Because when a rift happens between the mother and the father in the home, we know the children suffer the most, and the effectiveness of the father and the man isn't felt. The effectiveness of the woman or mother isn't felt, and the children suffer the most. Similar to an eclipse, as we are taught in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Because in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, he saw a dream as a young boy of the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowing down to him. And decades later, Allah makes this dream come true in the form of his father and Yaqub's wife and his brothers bowing down to him. And he says, هَذَا تَأْوِيلُ رُؤْيَايَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. This is the interpretation of my dream before. And scholars have weighed into this dream and how Allah made it manifest. And they said that the likeliness of the son to a father in the home is so peculiar that when the sun is out, photosynthesis happens. Plants grow, fruits grow, convectional rainfall happens. Similar to when the father is around. When the father is around, earning happens. The home is moving. There's money coming into the home. The bills are paid. Also, when the father is around, the wife and the children feel secure. Just like people naturally feel secure when the sun is out. They feel more brave to walk into life during the day than they would be at night. Then they say the likeliness of the moon to the mother is peculiar as well, because the mother is serene to look at. And when the moon is around, the stars are twinkling around the moon. And thus you find in the home of the family, the children are more around the mother. And the mother takes, or the moon takes its light from the sun. The more effective the father, the more effective the mother. There are these connective realities between the wider creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the structure that Allah has revealed for the Muslim family. But then as we see in the cosmos and with the universal reality, sometimes you find the moon trying to play the role of the sun and the sun trying to play the role of the moon. And in that circumstance, you have an eclipse, either a solar eclipse or a lunar eclipse. And when this eclipse happens, the energy of the moon, the benefit of the moon, and the benefit of the sun isn't felt. And the stars are nowhere to be seen. And in the home, when the mother tries to play the role of the father, or the father the role of the mother, meaning they go about their way void of the guidance of the Quran and Sunnah, the role of the father becomes ineffective, the role of the mother becomes ineffective, and the children suffer the most as well. This is in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a social lesson about life and the family, albeit in an indirect way for those who ponder. And thus Allah says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do they not ponder over the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what Allah has revealed? For in it indeed are signs for those who ponder. And Allah constantly guides those of objective understanding and the reading of the book to take guidance. فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. Take guidance from the revelation, O people of understanding. This topic is a big one, brothers and elders in Islam. But through it, hopefully, in terms of the presentation shared thus far, we've understood matters pertaining to the what, which is a marriage, and why. Why it's so important that we get married and we look after the family structure and its association to Tawheed, which is La ilaha illallah, La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah, that there's no one worthy of worship besides one Allah. That whenever you see a nikah, it's connected to this reality that there's no one worthy of worship besides one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But to bring some completeness to the topic in the few minutes that I have left, allow us to touch a little bit into the how. How do we ensure that we look after the Muslim family unit? How do we ensure that we keep families together at every cost? How can we be sure that we successfully fight this institution that is pouring billions into breaking the family structure? There's so much to say, brothers and elders in Islam, but perhaps I can share with you just two. Firstly, brothers and elders in Islam, it's important that marriages come together upon the Quran and the Sunnah. That we are true to this verse in Surah Ar-Rum. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He created for us, from us, our pairs. And Allah teaches us why. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. That from you being together, you will derive the serenity of life. There's no greater serenity to life than to build Jannah. Allah is teaching us in this verse that marriage gives you opportunities to build Jannah that you would never ever be able to do had you done the same with her or her with him outside of the fold of marriage. When you feed your wife, it is a sadaqah and your Jannah grows for you. But if she's not your wife, your hellfire develops for you. Subhanallah. This is the serenity of life, brothers and elders in Islam, that we live the reality of Allah's oneness. And in that living, we build our paradise, for Allah only sent us here to build paradise. That we see the proposition, the return on equity, the ROE or ROI, the terminologies we love, return on investment, that this marriage is an investment to build our Jannah. Allah says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً. We place between the spouses مَوَدَّةً. This is one of the ways that we can assist our marriages remaining strong. Allah didn't say hub, but rather He said mawadda. Hub is a common translation for this verse, but it is not an appropriate translation, because mawadda, brothers and elders in Islam, doesn't refer to love, but refers to affection. That Allah placed between the husband and wife affection. And affection is manifested love. It's not just the case of loving your wife, but that love is hidden in your heart or her heart. And none from the two parties feel the love that one party has for the other. And many a times we see this. We ask the couples, do you love each other? They say yes. But in reality, nobody believes the other person. Why? Because they live every day not manifesting that love for each other. And that manifestation happens in different ways, brothers and elders in Islam. For Allah has created us in different ways. And there's different strokes for different folks. As they say, some people find the affection being shown when the husband overlooks some of the mistakes of the wife in the home. Some husbands find the affection of his wife in the form of her messaging him during her busy day to check if he's had lunch or he's had dinner. And all this is found in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah has placed mawadda, manifested love, and not just love. And this aids the marriage being strong and helps us against the vice outside of the home that's trying to infiltrate our home. And then Allah says wa rahma, and mercy. That is not enough just to love each other and then manifest the love that you have for each other, but you must be merciful to each other. And mercy here, brothers and elders in Islam, refers to the turbulent moments where maybe you don't want to express your love for the other party. But here it's important that you be merciful to each other. Why? Because your marriage has a bigger picture. There are divine values that govern your marriage. That for the sake of us looking after the oneness of Allah and being daily representatives of Him being one, I will overlook my desires in this moment for the bigger picture, to keep this marriage together, and I will be with my spouse with the hand of mercy. And some of the scholars of tafsir have said that rahma here refers to the children, because the children are a means for the family, the parents building their Jannah further. Because in raising your children, it's an act of worship. And when you worship Allah, Allah rewards you. And also, if you raise them to die upon Islam, then everything they do after you is sadaqatul jariyah for you. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنْ وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانِ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ كُلُّ امْرِئٍ بِمَا كَسَبَ رَهِينٌ. Allah says, as for those who believe, and they raise their children upon belief, and they die upon belief, Allah will gather them in Jannah. If the parents are at a higher level of Jannah and the children at a lower level of Jannah, Allah will raise the children to the level of the parents without decreasing the position of the parents. And if the parents are at a lower position and the children at a higher position, Allah will raise the parents to the level of the children so they can be a family in Jannah together as they spent their time building Jannah together in their homes on earth. Subhanallah. This is the reality, brothers and elders in Islam, that everything is a means to an end, even how we get married. Thus, Islam is not just a religion, but an entire way of life. And because it's an entire way of life, I can share with you these pearls from the Quran and the Sunnah. Because as the Quran came down to teach us Tawheed and release the people from the shackles of following their forefathers and worshipping idols, it spent enough time not just revealing the mashru'iyyah, the permissibility of getting married, but also how to get married and how to be a husband and how to be a spouse. Subhanallah, much is there to be said. But our point has come, our time has come to an end. One thing I'll share just to tie this together, brothers and elders in Islam, from this verse, think about it. And this is for the couple that are about to be married today. And for you to share with your children, our elders in Islam, because inshallah soon they will be married. When you get into a marriage, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, see your relationship with each other upon the platform of a triangle. A triangle has three sides. Two sides parallel to each other and one side way above. If you write the husband's name on the bottom corner and the wife's name on the other corner at the bottom, there will be a big distance between them. And if you write Allah's name at the top point of the triangle and both parties be with each other, putting Allah first, you will go up the triangle. And as you go up the triangle, the distance between you and him and her doesn't get further apart. It only gets closer together. And these are marriages, brothers and elders in Islam, that are marriages for a lifetime. For when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, he taught us that when Muslims get married, they don't get married for life. It's not for children and procreation only, but rather for a lifetime that they live together. And when they pass away, the one that lives misses the one who has passed away and yearns to be with them in a better abode, in Al-Firdaus, insha'Allah. And thus we see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, years after Khadija passes away, he hears the voice of her friend and he starts remembering Khadija radiallahu anha and praising her. And even though this might create a bit of sadness in the hearts of the wives around him, Aisha would say, why do you remember her? She's the past. I'm the now. She was old. Allah gave you something better. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, kalla, you don't know what she did with me. Her, radiallahu anha. What did she do for him? She did for him everything that helped him maintain his obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our marriages, bless our parenting, bless our children, inspire us to be substantial human beings. Stop living life for the sake of the bills, for the sake of me, myself, and I, but rather for the sake of looking after the legacy of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and living life upon these divine values, not working with each other on a point system, a point like a golf card, a scorecard. You know, how many pars you had, how many birdies you had, how many eagles you have. Now you have, you know, the room for a bogey here or there. There's many golfers in the audience, I'm sure you can relate to this. This is not how we should be. It shouldn't be, I did this for you, now you need to do this for me, and I did this for your family, they didn't do it for me, so I'm not going to do it for them. This is shallowness, brothers and elders in Islam. These laws came down from Allah in the book, the final testament, the timeless miracle. And you will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and answer for every role that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed you in. Once again, may Allah bless our families and protect us from evil and cause us to die upon iman and our children upon iman. And may Allah gather us with our parents and our children and our loved ones in al-firdaus. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Allah.